Neil Young on the KFOG Morning Show, 7:53. Good morning. We have a guest in studio as we look back on the 40th anniversary of man first landing on the moon. A unique perspective that you bring to it, because Jim Caudill was initially a reporter, a journalist, a radio journalist when Apollo 11 took off. You were there for it, right, Jim?
I was a kid. Uh-huh. I was a kid, and I was 16 years old, and the only thing I knew how to do is put the tape recorder in the back of my Camaro and head to the assignment. And I had a 68 yellow Camaro, and you know, the day before I accidentally drove up to Apollo 11, the day before the launch, 15 mm-hmm. hours, it's unheard of today. I was 100 yards away from the launch.
Wow.
I made a wrong turn on Cape Kennedy Air Force Station. I drove my yellow Camaro. Here I am, 16-year-old kid with a Sony 350 mm-hmm. in my trunk. If anybody knows the yellow Camaro, that's about the only thing that'll fit in the trunk.
Well, we were fortunate that you brought the tape recorder with you, because you got some great audio, which we'd like to listen to right now.
Yeah, cool.
15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Wait for it.
Tower cleared.
Here, we got a roll program.
Yeah, that's an 8-7.
The roll and pitch program, which puts Apollo 11 on a proper.
That's great. As you say, an 8-second delay between where you were.
Now listen for it.
Wow.
If you keep listening, though.
Yeah. What are we listening for?
You're going to listen to the actual.
30 seconds.
You're only hearing the engine start right now.
Roll complete and a pitch program.
This was a tactile experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Basically, it was just basic. It came up through your bones. You resonated with the rocket.
I believe it. Was that your first experience?
That was my first rocket launch, and less than a year later, I went to work for NASA.
Now, that's very interesting, because you're there on the ground floor for Apollo. Well, I mean, physically, you're there for Apollo 11 when man first lands on the moon, and then you go to NASA. What did you end up doing at NASA?
Well, I worked as a ground support equipment trainee for Keith Jenkins in the headquarters building at Kennedy Space Center. I grew up in Florida, and, you know, it was the best show that Florida had at the time.
Was there absolute certainty at the time that this was going to work when you watched that?
Oh, no. I think there was a great deal of uncertainty, but the Saturn V had so many different abort mechanisms, you know, to get them to orbit. I don't think people realize how hard it is to get a Mini Cooper into orbit. You know, it takes a lot of energy, and you know, this thing was just huge and amazing.
And we hear nowadays that people always say, well, you know, just a common calculator or a common wristwatch has more computer technology in it nowadays than what they were using to get to the moon.
You know, what's really cool is, I don't know whether you've seen these computerized telescopes where you can point them at stars. Mm. It's very similar to the guidance computer optics that were in the Apollo missions. Hmm. It's really, really very similar.
Now you were working at Kennedy Space Center in the following missions, so you can't give us a sense for Apollo 11. But what does it feel like in those not crisis moments, but those absolute must make moments at Kennedy Space Center?
Oh my God!
What does it feel like?
Well,
in
my
there?
My first assignment was Apollo 13.
Oh really? Oh.
I went to work for NASA a week before the launch of Apollo 13, and remember, I was 17 years old. So I actually watched the recovery of Apollo 13 in Kurt Debus's conference room on the fourth floor of the headquarters building. I can tell you there was no better time in my life to experience this feeling of teamwork. You know, that was the sense, I think, and, you know, and we all gathered together for that. And I think that, you know, I think because we were so young, the director of the Space Center invited us up to his conference room to see that recovery.
We spoke to somebody a little earlier this morning who currently works at NASA, who was kind of bemoaning the fact that the moon program went away. And I'm wondering what your thoughts on that are.
Well, since Apollo, we've been confined in an orbit about from here to Sacramento, peering down on the Earth. I think it's kind of cool that we can look down on the hardware of the moon that mm-hmm. we left on the moon. Yeah, we were pushing the boundaries, and I don't think people realized, again, how hard it was. And it was basically playing with the beach, going to the beach and pushing the boundary of the seashore and seeing how far we could go. And it was really difficult. And Apollo 12 got struck by lightning. Pete Conrad and Alan Bean, if you actually listen to their downlink audio as they're achieving orbit, they're giddy with excitement because they lost all of the circuit breakers in the command module at the time. Now, had you know, and lightning struck, that lightning created by Apollo 12, but the magnificent design of the Saturn V, this truck, which was basically just to get this stuff to orbit as quickly and as efficiently as possible, just flew right on, and it was all, they were giddy with delight at having reached orbit. And mm-hmm. then, you know, two and a half revolutions later, they went to the moon.
Wow.
And landed on the moon, which is unbelievable. It's unheard of.
Amazing. Great stories and great experiences. Thank you for sharing them. Jim Cottle, our guest in the studios on the KFOG Morning Show. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
Really good.
My pleasure.